All right, we are here, we are Galexics, and welcome. We have established a vortex surrounding you, supporting you in the following two ways. You are at the center of the vortex, so you don't feel the spin. But anything you would like to let go of, with your intention, just any time during this experience, just let it go. Imagine it coming out of you and spinning out into your reality to be transmuted back into the light from whence it came. The second use is, by intention, to inform your reality of what you would like to have manifest. We will probably be using the vortex in this session to really put out your message, your choices into your reality. But you can do it anytime during this event. And all you have to do is to send your intention out, imagining it spinning out and informing your whole world of your choice. Now, you do this all the time, speaking about future tracks, speaking about life tracks. You're continuously looking at what you want, putting it out there in your future, and aiming towards it. When you have an idea of what you wish to experience and to manifest in your life, you will hold it as your goal. You will have a light on it. You will desire it. You will want it. You will imagine it. And if you've been taking any kind of metaphysical training, certainly you've done visualizations about what you wish in the future and any kind of technique that goes with it to reinforce and enhance the probability that you will achieve that particular goal. These goals out in your future are, in a sense, your guidance system. They're holding an energy for you in your future. And if you dream them, imagine them strong enough, they begin to pull you in that direction. There are many books, seminars, and trainings on how to do this. It is, in fact, an extremely popular area of study. But what we wish to discuss today is an aspect of it that most people are not aware of. We doubt that you have read about it, studied about it, heard about it, and worked with it in a workshop format. And that is how to align yourself to that future by working with lining up reality episodes. Now, episodes, you're used to thinking, are like an individual show in a TV series, for example. An episode is a segment of a whole. And very often, if you have a TV series, each episode, each individual show will be one piece of the plot that if you were to string the whole series in order of episodes, you would find that it would basically be a whole story. Now, in your personal life, you don't always think of these episodes yourself. These episodes are events or circumstances that occur to you, periods, energies that show up on your way to your goal. The future, the goal, is pulling you. Because of that goal, you are doing certain things, moving in a certain direction, moving your feet towards that goal. On the way towards that goal, you are encountering different energies, different developments, and unfoldments. These are your episodes. Now, it is very easy for you to go linear. There's so much fascination with linearity in your culture. And indeed, when you go to school, you learn in a linear way. They have classes, individual lessons, i.e. episodes, for you to learn a topic. That if you place them in that order, that you learn them. It builds from one to another until you get that body of knowledge. So it is easy to make the assumption that you want to be linear in your approach to obtaining that future goal you desire. So the human mind, brilliant that it is, all over the place, but yet really into the detail. That mind will set up what you think are the steps, are your episodes to get there. All right, if I'm going to get to this place where I get this particularly, really especially good job, then I have to prepare my resume. I have to go and interview. I have to maybe go back to interviews. I maybe have to practice on how to do good interviews. I've got to look at whatever company I'm applying to see if I can kind of get an idea of something that's important to that company that I could bring up in the interview. How to market myself, make sure I have good clothes for it, figure out ways to promote myself. And if the interview doesn't go well there, to set up another one, perhaps to go to a networking fair, to network with other people, to learn more about how to get a good job. Now, we could go on and on, but these are sequences that you think you've got to do, you've got to put together, let's say, for that particular goal. Your goal, whatever it is, requires certain actions on your part. It requires certain sub-goals to aim for. As in the seeking a job, an interview is an episode. And you want to have the interview, and then you want to have the acceptance of you with that job. And then you want to, once you have the job, you've got to dream a little bit further, too. You've got to negotiate for salary. You've got to show up at the job. You've got to, you know, put on good clothes. And all of these things have got to line up in the right order. So when you put together your life steps towards your goal, when you say, okay, here's what I need to do. Here's my episodes. Here's my tasks. Here's step by step. It gives your mind a sense of security. Yes, that's logical. Yes, that's reasonable. That's what I will do towards my goal. But the problem is that reality is not quite like that. All of you have discovered that the best laid plans, most orderly, step-by-step process, as you figure it, often get surprises. And these surprises can be disappointing, distressing, aggravating, irritating, and frustrating. They can also trigger your sense of doubt that you will get to the goal, trigger fear. Even a delay of an episode can send you spinning into concern, worry, trying to, okay, and the mind comes in and tries to figure out how we're going to work through this, how are we going to make this, how are we going to lay down the tracks so I feel really secure. Well, what we want to talk about today is how to get on your positive life track and how to stay on a life track. A life track leading to your goal is not going to be one linear track. You see, every time you make a choice, there are different possibilities you could choose. You are a creature of choice. It is your God-given right in this universe, a universe based on the concept of free will. You have the right to choose what you do next, where you go, what goals you wish to achieve. It's your choice. And so every time you make a choice, there are maybe at least three parallel realities that show up as possibilities or probabilities. Which one do you choose? You make the choice the best you can, thinking about that goal in the future that you're aiming for. I think between A, B, and C possibility, I think A is going to take me to that goal better than B or C. So you make choice A. And what happens is that when you make choice A and move towards choice A, your reality as your friend will line up a whole bunch of episodes leading to your future from the place that you choose to that goal. It will line up episodes. Now, it's a temporary thing. It's a possible future track. Yes, you're heading towards a particular goal if you are persevering, if you really intend thoroughly to get to that goal, then you will find that various episodes will come up. Some will appear to lead you away from the goal. Some of them will accelerate your speed towards the goal. Now, most people are a bit insecure about their capacity to actually manifest that goal. So, of course, they want the speedy route. Let's hurry up and get the goal before I blow it, before my worry, before I shoot myself in the foot or something. Let's hurry up and get there. As sooner we can get there, the safer I'll be. Whew, I made it. But of course, reality doesn't work that way, because the lineup of episodes is based on your emotional body. If you wish really, really hard, and this goal is really, really important to you, and you really want this goal to give you something of significance and major importance in your life, you are creating emotional energy of drama. It may not appear dramatic in the sense of you're not crying and wailing and doing all sorts of crazy emotional excess. But it is drama, and nevertheless, because it includes issues dealing with trying to avoid self-doubt and trying to be more confident, trying to feel strong and trying to feel good about it and stay in a good place, or trying to anticipate what could go wrong and fix it in advance, Whatever approach you take in your emotional body to deal with doubt, to deal with fear, that creates a little drama. It's excess energy. Your future track will line up episodes for you to deal with that. So the more you worry, the more issues you have to deal with on your track. That makes sense, of course. That's logical. But this excess energy has to be released. It has to be discharged. And there are two ways to discharge it. One is to step into the knowing of who you are and that you've placed your order and that you are secure and that one way or another your order is coming to you. You will get it. That calm knowing, that calm expectation can be claimed. This will reduce excess charge, excess drama. The other way of doing it is by taking action. That is why in your reality, there is this whole fantasy about if you want to succeed, you have to be a workaholic. You have to have phenomenal amounts of energy and you have to push and drive and push and drive and push and drive. Because the more that you push and drive, the more you're discharging the energies and clearing excess charge that could build up in your emotional body. However, just by virtue of the fact of pushing and driving yourself, you're creating even more charge. You're creating more self-importance, or you're creating importance on the object of your achievement. The more importance you put on it, the less likely you're going to select a track that is elegantly getting you there. And more likely that you're going to select a track that's going to take you over here, take you over there, take you this place and take you that place, so you can deal with the drama until you clear the drama. This excess energy has to be dealt with. And what happens in your reality is that nature loves balance. If you're healthy, it means your body has a natural balance. It is balancing between, you know, the good stuff, the bad stuff, the energy, the tiredness, the this and that and the other and the other. It is balancing the systems. It's balancing the digestion. It's balancing. When you're balanced, you think well, you function well, you sleep well, you digest well, you're healthy. When you're out of balance, you get pain, you get messages. You get discomforts. You get weakness, tiredness, issues of health. The same is true with manifestation. If you're out of balance, in other words, if you're pumping out too much drama about stuff, you've made too much significance on this goal, or you're using this goal in a way to enhance your own significance or a sense of your own power and significance. In other words, you're using the goal to grow yourself. Sometimes we call that the commission of challenge. Anytime you have a failure on the way to the goal, you go back to the books, you go back to your study, you go back to your meditational practices, work harder, figure it out, do more programming and processing. The more programming and processing that you do indicates the more insecurity you have about your failure to reach the goal, creating more imbalance. We have found several people who are so into it, they think they're going to earn this goal by diligent metaphysical practice. And we have to say, calm down, don't process so much. The more that you process, the more important you're making all of this, the bigger deal it's becoming. When you're out of balance, nature will restore balance. Nature will take away that excess. And here's how nature does it. Imagine that there's this beautiful, wonderful toy and a bunch of kids, and every kid wants this toy. So there's a little scuffle over the toy. One kid is grabbing the toy away from another kid and saying, "No, it's mine, it's mine." And the kid who is losing the toy is saying, "No, no, no, it's mine, I want it." There's another kid who's already lost the toy once. He's circling around looking for, well, when is an opportunity that I could jump in and grab it? On the sideline sits a child. "Oh, that's such a beautiful toy, but I don't think I could ever get that one. Look at how much work it is to get it. You have to fight all this competition. I don't do well in competition. And if I try to do something, that I'm going to get teased. And I guess I'll never be able to have that beautiful toy." Another kid who lost the toy before is pouting and stomping around. It's not right. It's not right. I want that toy. It should be mine." And finally, another kid is calling, "Mommy, Mommy, they took the toy away from me. They won't share the toy with me. It's not fair. Mommy, come and make them give me the toy and share the toy with me." Look at all the excess going on, all the drama over the toy, the goal. Enter Mommy, or the adult supervising the whole thing. What's the adult going to see? All of this distress, all of this fighting and conflict and problem is centered around this toy. They're going to go up to the kid and say, "Okay, give me the toy." Kid gives the adult the toy. Say, "Okay, you all don't really know how to deal with this. So none of you are going to get the toy." The adult walks away. Now, none of them have the toy. But guess what? There's no more fighting. There's no more stress. There's no more agitation, crying, pouting, stomping. All the kids are there like, "Oh, it's all quiet on the playground." That's balancing. If you have charge about the object of your goal, the form you want this goal to manifest in, if you're having issues about yourself and your own capability, if you have judgments and irritations about the external world and how you can have to get there and what's required of you to stressfully push and drive to get to that goal, what you have to do, you're out of balance. And nature is going to come and remove your goal. It's going to take it away from you. Even if you haven't gotten it yet, it will create an episode which will appear to take you far away from the goal. It will discharge that excess through disappointment and failure. Somebody that perhaps you have trusting to work with as your partner gets up and takes the money and disappears, drops out, moves away. Or somehow or another, there seems to be an opportunity and you reach for it and it's pulled out from under you and somebody else gets it. And you have jealousy and disappointment You'll be flattened. The energies will crash. You have to regroup yourself, start over. What happens when that goes on? What it means is that when you have excess charge, you're not moving towards your goal in an elegant and flowing way. You're out of your flow. So you get shifted to another life track. Now, your goal is still at the end of the life track, but further away. It's more discouraging. But that life track is one with lots of excess energy, lots of drama, lots of challenges that you and obstacles that you're going to have to overcome. Do you want to get to your goal by crawling over challenges? No. You want things to unfold with more magic for you. That's the nature of it. When you imagine it, you want things to line up. You want things to unfold for you. It's actually your birthright to have this type of reality creation working for you. It's your mind that makes all the drama spin. Now, contrast this with someone who can move towards their goal without any drama, very casually having festive and celebratory thoughts about the goal. And just moving gently, no rush, no hurry, no issue. Moving gently towards that goal, staying in the flow, staying calm and happy in the moment, being present with self. It has as little charge as you going to a restaurant and getting a meal. There are very few people who have so much stress and charge over getting a meal at a restaurant that it's a big deal for them. Most people just, you know, arrange it. They show up at the restaurant. They sit down at the table, look at the menu, place their order. That's make their choice for their goal, right? Give it to the waiter. And you assume when you do that. You absolutely assume. There's no issue about it. You assume that that waiter's going to take the order to the kitchen. They're going to prepare your food, and they're going to bring it back to you. You will eat it, and then you will pay for it and leave. Voila! What could be easier? But there are some people who are on life tracks where restaurants are difficult places. They go in there, they don't get a good seat. The chair's uncomfortable. The waiter takes too long to bring the menu. The water tastes yucky. They place an order finally, and it takes a long time to come, and they get all restless and agitated and upset. I'm in a hurry. Where's my food? And they'll get up and they'll complain. They'll go to the kitchen even to make sure it's coming. And they will complain about restaurants to the ones who are going with them until everybody's all distressed. And when the food finally comes, it's cold. Or maybe it's the wrong food. Or it doesn't taste right. And they've got to go and complain about that and see if they can get it for free. Or get something out of it. And they have to complain a lot. And they can bitch and moan over having to pay the bill. And they leave and they go, I'm never going there again. Which experience would you rather have? It's the lack of drama and the calm comfort of expecting celebration that enables you to line up the episodes more harmoniously for yourself. You want the amount of significance of your goal to be no more than getting that dish at a restaurant, or by going to a store and purchasing an item. A popular item, you know it's in stock, you go there, you get it. You get it every week. It's just, you know, what you get, and it's there. You don't worry all week, is my thing going to be there? Is that celery going to be there? You go there, you check it out. There it is. You take the one you like. No charge on that. That's the same way you need to go to your goal. So, looking at your goal now, you need to recognize also in the selection of your goal, there's an important consideration. Most people look at their goal as the form of manifestation that they desire. The example we gave before is like a good job. That's the form. The job is the form. But that's only the tangible part. But the mind likes to go for the tangible part, because it can define it. But the intangible part of your goal, and all of you who have done any kind of metaphysical work, understand that the intangible parts, the function of your goal, what that does is what's really important. What that is of you. Your goal is really you at a greater stage of you. Because in order to have that form that you wish, you have to be a bigger person, energetically speaking, who is capable of receiving and having that. And since you don't have that yet, when you haven't reached your goal, if you don't have it yet, it indicates that your image, that yourself, that your identity needs to grow and expand to a place where the you that is bright enough, self-esteeming enough, valuing yourself enough, caring about yourself enough, and willing to have something of that magnitude is natural for you. Because you see, when you look at people who are very, very successful, they've gone through many failures before they got there. But one way or another, they finally allowed themselves to grow to a place where they could have it. The difference between the people who are successful, for example, in media and film, and are those people who are willing to have that. It doesn't mean they're more talented or more gifted. Some of the most talented people, and you've seen this, and on YouTube there was they found this guy, this, you know, black guy in, on the street with a guitar, phenomenal, phenomenal singer, phenomenal musician. People would listen to him, and he'd sing the blues, and you'd almost cry with the poignancy of it. But he was homeless. He did not have the willingness to have the financial comforts. But he had more talent than most of the people that made it. The people who make it have an image of self. They are willing to have it. They intend to have it. And to have it as an ordinary thing of their life. Ordinary, not special, exceptional, whoo, big deal. No, it's ordinary to them because they're at that level. So when you are looking at your goals, at the achievements of form that you wish in manifestation, you also have to look at, are you ready and willing and fully intend and expect to have that? Plus, can you see yourself as a person for whom that is completely and totally natural, easy, effortless, normal, ordinary for you? So when you are imagining your goal, you want to make it ordinary. The more you make it a big deal, the more you make it something of huge importance, that it's going to, in a sense, show the world who you are going to validate you, are going to finally give you freedom, finally give you a peace, safety, and security, finally going to make you valuable in the eyes of others. You've got a lot of imbalance riding on your future. Nature is going to come and make sure you do not get that goal. They'll take you down side life tracks where you have to learn how to build your self-esteem to overcome the obstacles of your own making. It can be hard work on those tracks. We don't recommend them. You're not in the flow on those tracks. So start out your programming. Start out your particular process of looking at your goal. Yes, there's the form. But your spiritual essence isn't at all concerned with the form. The form is just the result. You see, if you get the function of it, what it's doing, who you are, how natural it is to you, and that you want to be there rather than get there, then it will have the same level of charge as placing your order in a restaurant and expecting and knowing casually, calmly, that it's going to be yours because you ordered it. You actually made the effort to come to the restaurant. You're going to pay for it. It's all an arrangement. No charge. Okay? So start out without charge. Start out without excess energy and drama on the whole thing. But for that reason also, don't start out small either. Because that will betray your sense of low self-esteem or capacity or a sense of inadequacy, which might relate to all the shame you got dumped on you in your childhood and adolescence. That's still percolating in there somewhere, making you feel that you are not significant. You're not valuable enough. It has nothing to do with that. You already are significant. You already are valuable. That's a given. You're lovable, valuable, significant. It's a given. You don't have to issue over it, have drama over it, need it, try to get it, push for it, drive for it, earn it. You don't have to do anything for it. That's all the drama. You have to own it. And very calmly and very casually recognize this is your reality. You created it. You placed the order in it. Just move towards your goal. Become that person who can have that as a natural aspect of yourself. And in a sense, it's simply just taking what's yours. The life track that you can get on when you don't have any of this drama is one of elegance. It's a flow. Now, there's no one who can be in the flow 100% of the time. Don't even expect it. But what'll happen is that you will move forward toward your goal. There will be an episode. An episode is a place where there's an event or circumstance that happens, as we mentioned before, and from an episode, you will make a choice. That choice determines how you respond to that episode is your choice. And that choice determines whether you branch off to another track, whether you stay on the track you are on, or go to yet a better track over here, a worse track over there, or stay on your current track. At every episode, you have to remake your choice. And that choice needs to be made from the self who can claim and own that that reality, that future you are choosing, is absolutely yours already. It's already yours. Now, how do you kind of claim that? We'll be doing a visualization, meditation later. But essentially how you do that is by doing a little visualization, a vignette of that future that you want. A vignette. You step into the vignette. You don't look at yourself having it. You are yourself having it. You are having it all. Who are you that is having it and for whom it's natural and ordinary? That's part two. First part, what's the form? Part two, who are you? What does that feel like? If you can step into that and get, at first it's going to be uncomfortable. Me having all that, me there already, ooh, it's a little intense for it to happen already. But you practice it. You practice it. You do it over and over. And with time, it starts to get more comfortable. That self that you want to be. That's the part that has a constraint. Because if somebody came and offered you $20 million right now, you'd say, oh, yeah. But there'd be a part of you that would say, oh, my gosh, this is overwhelming. What do I do with $20 million? I've never had this amount of money before. There have actually people who have won tremendous amounts of money in lotteries and amazingly blew it within 2 years. Blown, gone. And they were miserable from it. Frankly, that's the majority of people who win the lottery. Because their self-images, they couldn't really allow themselves to have it. It was too extraordinary. It could not be just natural to have $20 million. But if you practice having $20 million, and you practice it over time, at first it's a fantasy, but you really get in there and feel, well, who are you that can have this naturally? After a while, you'll stretch, you'll grow until it'll start to feel a little more normal. And when it starts to feel a little more normal, you'll start to feel a lightness, a freedom, a space in you. If you can do that without putting charge on it, just being there. That's the most important part. It's more important to pay attention to who you are than to what it is that you want to manifest, because that just will come naturally to who you are. But once you get really comfortable with it, then you will see that your flow is taking you in that direction. However, as we said, you're never 100% in the flow. There will come episodes, even if you don't have charge, even if when the doubts and the fears and the worries and the insecurities and the frustrations show up, when the obstacles show up or the delays show up and you start to respond emotionally and you clear it all out and get yourself really, really clear, there is still a possibility you can shift over to a not so good life track because of that excess. You maybe have to work at clearing the excess. So here's what we're going to suggest, something pretty radical. You want to be in your power at all times. And most of the time, when you're moving towards your goal, and you have an episode, an event that appears to be taking you away from the goal, not what your mind planned, not the step-by-step you thought you wanted to be on, or that you were thinking needed to be done to get there, your mind is going to go gangbusters on you. What? This is not what we planned. This is not what we want. Damn it, I don't like that. Your essence agrees. Your body, your gut level knowing agrees. Yes, yes, I agree. We don't like that. You agree. Mind and body agree. And as soon as you agree on what you don't like, your attention is put on what you don't like. That becomes a goal. You also lose your power there because you give your power away to the circumstance that seems to be out of order. You feel powerless. How did this happen? You try to control it, and it gets worse. Most people lose it at these episodes because you have to stay in your power and you have to make a choice. The choice is, how do you respond? If you respond, oh no, oh drat, damn it, I didn't want this, then you're going to shift to a life track where you get more of that, because that's your choice of response. If, on the other hand, you're trucking along and along comes an episode that seems to be negative on the surface, stay on your power. Don't get bent out of shape. Recognize I'm still on my way. That goal that I am headed for and that self I am becoming is still valid, still valuable. I don't see how I'm going to get there, but I'm going to leave that up to reality to do for me. I'm not going to try to figure it out with my mind. So here's this thing. It seems to be going, messing up my plans. How do I take power now? That's what you ask when you get a glitch. How do I take my power now? How do I stay on a track of celebration, of joy, of greater love and value and happiness? How do I stay on that track? How do I get on a happier track when all I'm being presented with is a deviation from what I want, or I think so, anyway? Your response is critical. This is the key that we are sharing today on how to get on your positive life track. Is to recognize that if you go and complain and moan, you're putting out lots of excess energies. Nature's going to come, and they're going to try and clean out this goal that's giving you so much distress. Take away your toy, and that'll calm you down. So a lot of times the glitches can come when you are going through your doubts and your worries and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da and all the internal yada-yada-yada. And your mind's trying to figure it all out and not finding a way to get through. I don't know how I'm going to get to that goal. I really have no clue. Oh my gosh, I've got to figure it out. I've got to figure it out. I've got to figure it out, says the mind. Now you got charge going. It's really important for the mind to figure it out. Instead, teach the mind to respond differently. The mind likes an intrigue. The mind likes to do certain research. So make it a research. When something doesn't seem to be going your way, laugh about it. Good-naturedly. And say, well, this is an interesting and unusual way of getting to my goal. I'm assuming I'm still going, getting my goal. And I'm assuming that reality has determined that this is something useful for me, and it's probably going to be a better way than I expect. There's something going to be good coming out of this. So I'm going to celebrate this. Yay! This is just right for me. I choose it. And I'm moving towards that goal in really creative and ingenious ways. Now, most people would get just totally bent out of shape about doing that, but that's not right. What are you telling your reality? That you're happy with suffering? Isn't that going to bring more suffering? Absolutely not. When you're in your power, when you're conscious, when you're making a choice how to respond to something, and you choose to respond to something still in alignment with celebration. When you celebrate it, when you say, yeah, okay, creative reality is working for me again. Something really great is going to come out of this. A lot of you know the whole principle of, you know, if it doesn't come the way you want it to, it's this or better. Something better can come. Yes, exactly. That's your choice. Something better is coming due to this glitch. This glitch is providing you with something positive, something really good. Because you're going to celebrate your way all the way to your goal. You're not going to go into excess energy. You're not going to create drama. Instead, you're going to be calm, collected, and continue to expect. You've placed your order. It's coming. Remind yourself you're willing to have it. And you start anticipating and looking for the magic. Where's the magic? Where is the magic? A glitch. That's interesting. Where's the magic? There's magic in here somewhere. I know it. Where's the magic? What's interesting is that if you will look at life this way, you'll find that many of your glitches actually turn out to be benefits. As horrible as they are to experience in the moment, or maybe it takes more than a moment, maybe it takes a few months, or maybe a year or two. Nevertheless, something really positive comes out of it. The channel was married for 10 years to husband number one, and she had this vision of them, you know, in very modest circumstance, retiring in some nice place and doing a lot of meditation and living a little simple life. But then he went off and had an affair. The marriage broke up traumatically. And she thought, oh my gosh, my world has come to an end. This is horrible. I don't have my companion for my great, you know, vision, my dream of my future. I'm all alone. Oh, she cried and wailed and complained. And somewhere down deep in the darkness and the wailing and the crying, at some point she cried out and she was just sitting there, kind of in a stupor. It's like, okay, the tears are over. I just, nothing else to do. And a small voice came in and said, now, you can be who you want to be. That's not my voice, she said. Well, who said that? And she felt this whole hope, this uplift. In retrospect, the pain of going through that separation and all that, she sees that it was one of the best things that happened to her life. It enabled her to move to another community, to start afresh, and there to meet Daniel, to have new dreams, bigger dreams, more beautiful dreams, to connect with the network of people and energies that she needed or that was waiting for her, gifting her a beautiful life journey. Even the darkest things can be blessings in disguise. Don't judge them too hastily. When you have a glitch, when you have a failure, do not judge that hastily. There's a hidden benefit behind it. Even if there isn't, all right, but you hold the powerful attitude that there is, and you seek it, and you expect more celebration, that this is an aberration. An aberration like for most of you, when you go to a restaurant, if they don't bring you what you order, that's really rare. Some people have never had that happen. It's so rare. So if you have this glitch, treat that as an aberration. But it may be a message. It may be something really good. So look into it in a casual, light-hearted way. If there isn't any extra positive behind it, what you'll be doing by holding this different attitude and approach and choice is that you'll be holding yourself and maintaining yourself or even shifting yourself to a better, happier life track where things go according more to what you want, that more towards the energy of celebration, more towards your energy of power of choice, you and your power. Even if there's no benefit beyond that, that's a huge one. And secondly, if you don't see the apparent benefit, you have not seen the troubles you've avoided. The troubles you have avoided that you would have gotten into big time had you gone and sworn and stomped around and pouted and cried and gotten all bent out of shape and fought and created obstacles and tried harder and did all that kind of stuff. Creating all this excess energy. Calling upon the forces of nature to come in balance. Getting you calm again. Get you backed into the flow. The flow is harmonious. The flow is like a very rapidly rushing river with absolutely no rapids. So it's silent. The channel in Daniel found one of these. It was a man-made stream, a channel for water, that the water ran really fast. Silently. And just by feeling the energies of that, sitting by on the bank of this rapidly moving water, silently moving water, just amazing, clean, clear water, you could see the bottom. There was incredible healing energy that went with it. That's the flow. That's the flow. It's quiet. It's easy. It's effortless. In a way, the flow needs to be ordinary for you. It needs to be something that's your usual. So if you can align your choices to that. To take it easy, regardless of what comes up. To be easy on yourself. To not go into distress and agitate over things. You align yourself up with your goal in a happier and more joyous and more elegant, flowing way. It works against what most people would recommend, or most people do. But for you, it's a way to flow. So you don't have to earn it. You don't have to push yourself. You don't have to drive yourself. You don't have to crawl over obstacles. You don't have to sweat through all sorts of challenges. You're going from one episode to another and celebrating. What a life track is that? And that future comes more elegantly as you expand your capacity to have what you want without all that earning. And one last thing, that as you get closer and closer and your goal is really getting close to you, as you're taking your steps towards your goal gradually, at some point you realize you're getting close. You know, the horse getting close to the stable starts to pick up speed. It's exciting. Some of you hit a fear of success, a wall, a fear of success. Oh my gosh. You mean I could actually have it? Really, really have it? And what we find here amongst especially spiritual people is that there's a hesitation to go into success and really allow it in, because accompanying it is a guilt for leaving other people behind, a guilt that maybe now that I'm successful, I really need to give to other people, almost as a compensation for it. For me to have that, I don't want to be an egotistical bad person. I'm going to have to do a lot of giving. We don't suggest you're callous to other people, but there's no guilt involved here. And for a lot of people, that visibility is a big issue, but that can be dealt with. But it's the guilt. They can snag you at the last moment. It's symbiotic guilt. It's where you leave your identification with the people who have not yet made that level goal and moved into the identification with all the people who have that level of success. It's an identity shift. You're not leaving anyone behind. No one else is suffering more because you are more successful. Let that go. Let that belief go. Know that you will face it at some point if you are a spiritual being. But it will go by choice. So you can step into really having what it is you've asked for. And also, when you finally get to that goal, it may not look like what you originally imagined weeks, months, or years earlier. The universe is going to bring you the goal that's in alignment with your soul. So if you're going for a goal that's not in alignment with your truth, with who you are, but you go through the journey, you'll end up with the goal that is who you really are. Don't try to be someone you aren't. Because you think, hey, if I can be this really big person who can have that, I must be this, you know, big stinker person, this ego person. No. You're going to avoid success if you feel like you have to be that person. When you finally get that level of success you are looking for, and it is inevitable, know that, if you'll hold that gentle expectation of it, you will find it's you operating at a higher level of your own truth. And that's really your goal. Because you'll be happy. You'll have all the trappings, all the symptoms of success that you want. You'll have all the support, all the love, all the value that you've ever wanted, but at some point didn't think you deserved. Now it's just natural. If you can do this, you can get that success and not blow it. Not be a one album wonder or reach the top of your fame and then crash. You can stay there and continue to go higher. Your future life track is up to you and your choice. How do you choose?